This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And again, want to tell everybody a little after 5 o'clock today, Charlie and I will go through our mock first round draft where we'll give our opinions early on, pre-combine, and normally it really doesn't change much. There's always a player or two that might make a little bit of a run. And then again, the medicals part, Charlie and I will do that at 5:10. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have on with us Will Guillory, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans. Will, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And, man, what a crazy damn game last night was between the Pelicans and the Spurs. Man, I was watching us. Oh, God, here we go again. With the Spurs, I actually flipped it off. I had the sound off, and then all of a sudden I turn, and man, the Pelicans got a big lead. And it was a crazy game where, man, the Spurs, they couldn't hit the ocean if they had a rock on their hands in the beach.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was kind of flipped because in the first half, the Pelicans were the team that couldn't score. They ended up with like 14 points in the second quarter. It was rough for a good little while, especially, you know, during the minutes when Zion Williamson's been on the bench. That's been the story the past few weeks, is they've looked really good when he's been out there, and it's kind of, you know, falling apart when he sat, and that was the case in the first half. And then in the second half, I think what really flipped it was the bench. You know, Jose Alvarado came in and played some huge minutes with his pace and his disruptiveness. The rookie, Carlo Mackovic, had a career-high 19 points, scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think that was a really good showing for them, get some of the young guys involved and get a good win in front of the home crowd. Yeah, I think they needed that kind of energy, you know, heading into Mardi Gras a few days.
No question about it, Will. There was so much talk right before the trade deadline of, man, you know, they might move Jose. And my thing is, what, for second-round picks? Man, let him keep that second-round picks. Man, I want him on my team because he becomes the jumper cable guy. You know, if I need a spark – He can jump my battery off, and that's what he's done for this basketball team. And why deal him away for second round picks? You know what you got in Alvarado, and I think last night was a great example of that.
No, I think you're 100% right, man. I think his energy is so crucial for this team. You could just feel the game just shift whenever he checks into the game because he does so much with the way he pressures the ball, the way he is get them to play faster on offense. You can feel the crowd really get into it when he starts hitting threes and starts chirping a little bit with the other team's point guard. I think they just love having him out there. And I think the great thing with him, you've really seen the development from him this year as a real point guard, right? Making those decisions, running the offense, making sure Zion gets the ball in the right spot. So I think you really seen him grow up this season, especially, you know, since DeJounte Murray has gone down and they've really needed that presence. I think he stepped up big time, and I think you're 100% right, man. I think the energy he brings, not just on the court, but in the locker room, is just a huge part of this team's identity. It'd be crazy to deal him away.
Well, you had a great tweet last night about Kelly Olynyk, and when he grabbed his 14th rebound, he finished with 15, but that was the most that he had had in a single game since April of 2021. Mike and I, when we had broken down kind of the return for the Brandon Ingram trade, obviously the first-round pick in 2026 is kind of the key there, but Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk, we kind of thought that, you know, and Bruce Brown's been a little bit disappointing early on. He hasn't really found a shot with the Pelicans just yet. But Kelly Olynyk, with a great performance last night, with getting the start, finished with a plus 21, plus minus, 14 points, 15 boards. And, you know, Antonio Daniels keeps mentioning this on the broadcast, that he's a very smart player. He knows where to pass the ball every single time. He's a great passing big as well, but also the rebounding effort, had a lot of great second chance buckets and stuff like that. And just Kelly Olynyk's performance last night.
No, I think he's been a great addition, man. And I think you already hear people with the team talking about he's stepping up, you know, pretty much from day one since he got into the building, you know, speaking up during practices and on the court telling guys, hey, you need to be here, you need to be there, we need to space a little bit better. Because, you know, they're, as of late, you know, even before they got Kelly, they started playing these double big lineups with two centers and Zion Williamson out there to kind of help with their struggles on the boards. And you saw, you know, they were amazing on the boards last night. They were plus 25, I think, you know, rebounds last night, and I think Kelly Olynyk obviously is a big part of that. But I think, you know, he's just so different from the bigs that Zion has played with throughout his career. You know, you think a lot about a lot of these big bulky bigs they've put next to Z, like Jonas Valanciunas or Steven Adams or Derek Favors in year one, and Olynyk is much more of a finesse guy. He can space it out to the three-point line. He's had several seasons in his career where he's 4 or 5 assists per game. So he's a guy who can play out on the floor, can move the ball, can make nice passes. And I think, you know, that's a really nice fit next to Z, as a guy who just knows how to play, knows how to space the floor. They can kind of go back and forth, posting up, you know, attacking mismatches. So I think he's been a really great addition. And just having that IQ in a lineup has really helped, you know, just getting the ball into the right places at the right time.
Carlo Makovic, last night, I want to put that on the highlight reel, because if I ever become a free agent, man, I want other teams to see that. It was his career high of 19 points, but also along with Alvarado, he was the spark for this basketball team. And yeah, you've seen his growth, Will, and talk a little bit about it to the audience, about his growth as a player overall.
Yeah, it's been great to see, because, you know, this is a guy who's been waiting for his opportunity for a long time, right? They drafted him a few years ago as kind of a Euro drafted stash guy. They drafted him. He spent the year in Europe. They brought him over. He spent a little time in the G League. He's, you know, spent a whole lot of time on the bench this year. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of belief in his talents, you know, in the building. They really believe in, I mean, you see it on the court. He's a guy who can spread it to the three-point line. He can finish around the basket. He can move his feet. But I think it was just, you know, him getting used to the NBA game, the speed, knowing where to be. You know, things move so fast when you're not used to being out there and not used to playing at this level. But I think you just see the comfort and his confidence growing lately, and now he's really able to show all the things he can do. And I think, like I said, with these double big lineups, you see the versatility and how much it's helping having guys like a Kelly Olynyk or a Carlo Makovic who can play multiple positions and who are comfortable moving around different spots on the court. I think it's really, you know, diversified this offense, and I think it's really helped Zion, where he's not being asked so much to do, you know, spend so much time in the paint, you know, protecting the rim or grabbing rebounds. They have those guys out there, and Z can really focus on his offense. And I think, you know, Carlo's growth has been huge, along with Eve Nisi as well, having two young rookie centers, you know, getting time, especially during the second half of the season, and really growing. I think that's going to be, you know, important for this team looking forward, just to have those additional young pieces on the roster.
Well, looking a little bit ahead, the Pelicans have another matchup against the Spurs. And just from last night's game, where, you know, the Spurs get out to that good start, and as you guys mentioned, you know, that second half, the Pelicans just throttled them. I mean, they went on a 67-32 run to finish that game. And I know the Spurs offense just went dormant. Ice cold was the term that was used multiple times, but they couldn't find anything. But the Pelicans also offensively were taking advantage of a lot of those misses, getting down the court and just hooping. I mean, it was a really nice second half performance from this team. And you got to hope that they'll be carrying that momentum into tomorrow night's matchup as well.
No, you're 100% right. I think the big thing for them is carrying over what they did in the second half, was just playing with pace, playing fast, getting into your sets early, not, you know, playing so much one on everybody, you know, with Zion, right? Whenever it feels like when they're playing these half-court possessions, they kind of give it to Z and just hope he can weave his way through two or three guys and get a bucket. But I think when they're playing faster, that opens up, you know, Trey Murphy getting more opportunities from three, or Jordan Hawkins getting just more opportunities from the outside rather than relying so much on getting into the paint. And a big part of that is, you know, getting stops on the defensive end like they were, right? And I think you got to limit De'Aaron Fox. Obviously, he's explosive at the point guard position. Well, once you take the ball out of his hands, I think you're forcing those other Spurs guys to hit jumpers. And when they're missing, you're seeing the long rebounds. Last night, Jose Alvarado had 9 rebounds because he's out there grabbing a long rebound and he's off to the races. And I think that's what you want to see more of, that them playing fast and continue to get better on the boards. You know, they're bottom 2 in defensive rebounding, you know, most of the season. And you know, ever since they've been playing these double bigs, the rebounding rate has gone way, way up. And if you continue to do that, you're just giving more opportunities to these, you know, offensive players you got and with the Pelicans. So that's the two big things you want to see, is them continue to rebound the ball and then just get out and run.
Will, take the Celtics off the board, Oklahoma City. Is the most impressive number 3 team the Cavaliers that you've seen so far? Because, man, they have sort of set this up that, you know, all chips in, and we're going to try to see if maybe we can catch a series where we can beat the Celtics and maybe get to the finals. Would that be your number 3 team right now?
Oh, yeah, I think it's no doubt. I think they're just – their cohesiveness and their chemistry – it's just at a different level. I think probably the Thunder and the Celtics are the only team that can really compare to what the Cavs are doing. Just the ability to kind of read each other's minds when they're out there on the court, and you see the experience they've had. And I think, you know, it's really a credit to them kind of sticking to what they've been doing. Because over the past couple of years, you've heard multiple times people talk about, hey, can they make this Mobley and Jared Allen thing work? Can they have these two smaller guards in the backcourt? Do they need to break this thing up? They ended up firing the head coach after last season, and I think you see them sticking with it the way they have and allowing these guys to learn each other and grow and, you know, bump their head a little bit in the playoffs, and you see they just come out better from it. You know, Donovan Mitchell's playing great this year. Darius Garland is having a career year. Evan Mobley has made such a huge jump. Might have a chance to win a Defensive Player of the Year. I think, you know, they can play so many styles. They can play big. They can play small. They shoot 100 threes. It's just so difficult to limit them, you know, in half-court offense especially. And I think what's big for them also now is that they've added a DeAndre Hunter, a bigger body on the wing to come off the bench. Javonte Green, you know, they just got from the New Orleans Pelicans as a buyout. So now they got some of these wings to contest with a Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown in a potential playoff series. So, yeah, I think, man, that Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be a bloodbath between those two teams. And you got the – I mean, it's just a lot of great teams out there. And you also got the Knicks, even though they're struggling against great teams. I think, you know, Jalen Brunson in the playoffs is always dangerous. So I think it's going to be a lot to contend with out there in the East. And then, you know, you always got the Miami Heat lurking, even if they come in as –
Never count it out. Never count it out. Charlie?
Never, ever count them out.
So, Will, we talked about the Spurs matchup tomorrow. I want to get your thoughts on the Phoenix Suns. We talked with Nick Friedell last week about them. And, I mean, they picked up a win over the weekend. They beat the Bulls. Clap, clap, everybody. But 2-8 in their last 10 since the start of February. I mean, this is a team that's kind of collapsed a little bit. They're now 27-30. They're out of the play-in tournament of the Western Conference right now, a team with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And it just feels like, you know, as far as the disappointing teams in the West, they got to be up there right now. And the Pelicans catching them at a good time when they're really slumping. Their only 2 wins, Will, since the start of February, where it was an overtime victory against Utah. And then, as I mentioned, that game on Saturday against the Chicago Bulls. Outside of that, they've picked up losses to teams like Toronto. Now, they've picked up some bad losses or losses to good teams like Denver and Memphis and Houston. But back-to-back losses against Portland, it's a team that's slumping, and the Pelicans are going to catch them at the right time.
I mean, yeah, you call them one of the more disappointing teams in the West. I think they have a chance to go down as one of the most disappointing teams in NBA history. When you consider just how all in they are, they're more all in than any team I can remember in a long time. I mean, they traded all of their picks to go get Kevin Durant, along with Mikal Bridges, along with Cam Johnson, and whatever, you know, little stuff they had left, they went out and got Bradley Beal to add to that piece. And you know, they're way over the second apron. They're extremely expensive. They don't have any future draft picks, and you're sitting there as like the 11th seed. I mean, we've seen teams go all in like this, and you know, maybe they're a 5 seed, and you lose in the first round, and you feel disappointed. This team might not even make the playoffs. You got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker over there, 2 future Hall of Famers, 2 dudes who won a gold medal last summer. I mean, it's crazy to see how much they've struggled, and just like the lack of, you know, any idea how they can get out of this. because they're so, you know, deep in the hole and with the second apron, it limits what you're able to do. So it's crazy kind of seeing them struggle the way they have. And I don't really know what you can do to fix it, you know, during this season. I think, you know, when we think about the Pels going against them, obviously it's always about Devin Booker and, you know, keeping him below 50 points, you know, would help. You know, he's had a few different times where he's dropped 50 on the Pels. So as long as you can keep him under control a little bit, that'll help. But, yeah, I mean, this Phoenix team is going to be fascinating to see just how much they can try to salvage this thing. And if they can't, you know, how those personalities respond in the locker room and what happens next.
Will, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I got to tell you this. Listen, it's difficult when you got a team that's not winning. You got to cover them every day because it's almost like you're writing the same book, in the same page in the book every day. But, man, you do one hell of a job, and I wanted to tell you that. I know how difficult it is when you're dealing sometime with a team that you know is not going to win many games, but you always keep us greatly informed.
Thanks, Will.
No, man, I really appreciate it, man. I'll come on whenever you guys want me to.
Thanks so much. Will Guillory does a great job covering the NBA and also the New Orleans Pelicans.